We miss college football.
Drops back, pressure from the edges. He throws near sideline, and it's intercepted. Intercepted, Keely Ringo at the 21. Off he goes, 40, 50, 45, 40, 35, 30, near sideline. Breaks the tackle, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, 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 Georgia. Let the celebration begin.
We can't wait for the 2022 season.
Rice gets it, backpedals onto the end zone. Loads up, looks long. He's got to win.
And we're counting down the days to kickoff.
Are we there yet?
No.
Are we there yet?
I said no.
Are we there yet?
What's wrong with your ears?
Here is your college football fix, only on the Zach Gelb Show.
We're almost there to the start of the college football season. Week zero this weekend and a full slate of games next weekend. We're coming to you live on the Zach Gelb Show from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there for home loan solutions that fit your life. Rocket can. Very excited for this upcoming season of South Carolina football. The Gamecocks last year had a big victory up against Florida, 40-17. They capped off their season with a bowl victory up against UNC. Now they have Spencer Rattler, and for Shane Beamer, it will be his second year as the head coach at South Carolina, and the HC joins us right now. Coach, appreciate the time. How are you?
I'm doing great. Appreciate you having me on.
Well, thanks so much. I want to start things off with a video that I saw circulate last week, and I'm always a sucker for this type of content when a coach just surprises a kid and rewards him with the scholarship. Take me through what it meant to give out a scholarship to Peyton Mangrum.
Yeah, no, it was pretty awesome. Peyton's somebody that is very deserving. Somebody that, you know, last year I told him that the first opportunity I could to get him on, I wanted to because he had earned it. He's a guy that's played meaningful snaps for us on special teams and on offense and works really hard and just goes about and does his job on and off the field every single day. So anytime you can reward somebody with a scholarship, it's a great feeling. And you could tell by the reaction of his teammates, they felt the same way as I did.
And I loved how casually you just dropped the news on everyone, Coach.
Yeah. A couple of the players told me that they thought it was very smooth the way that I did it as well. So practiced it a little bit and thought it'd be a cool way of doing that in a team meeting, watching some clips from practice previously.
Shane Beamer here with us, the head coach at South Carolina. So you've been around football your entire life. We know about your career, 7-6 a year ago. When you look back at last season, what did you learn about yourself with a full year now under your belt at South Carolina as the head coach?
Plenty. You're never, even growing up the son of a head coach, you're never truly prepared for what this job entails until you're actually, you know, behind the desk and actually doing it. So every day you're learning something about the job, and still am to this day. I mean, every day something that you don't expect comes up. But certainly realized it and throughout the year that you better have some great people around you. And I do with the players and coaches and staff here as well. I just was able to took so much from my dad and the other coaches that I've worked for. But, you know, one thing from my dad that I learned is just the consistency that you have to have, you know, day in, day out in this position. Because all eyes are on you and you don't want to get too high or too low after a win, after a loss. Just come right back to work every single day and get better. And I knew that, but, you know, certainly being in this role, you realize that even more.
And you're feeling the heightened awareness now because a lot of people are talking about the successful season you had a year ago, and no one's going to be sleeping on you this year. I don't mean that in a negative way, but it really speaks to what you're able to do in year one.
Yeah, for sure. Proud of what the 2021 team did, and a lot of the adversity we overcame from an injury standpoint to still find a way to go from 2 wins and to 7 wins in our first year and win a bowl game against North Carolina and beat Auburn and Florida down the stretch was a great way to finish. And there is a lot of excitement about South Carolina football right now, and there are higher expectations, and we embrace those and are excited about that. I want to coach at a place that has high expectations like we do, but also, you know, we realize the work that's in front of us, that you know, we were a inconsistent team last year. We have to be more consistent. We have to, you know, play and coach better overall than what we did last season. And you also realize that we play in the toughest conference in the country. And all these opponents of ours, they're not slowing down either. So we've got to continue to really work hard to put ourselves in position to be in the conversation with those guys and have success on the field week in, week out like we want to.
Talking to Shane Beamer right now, the head football coach of South Carolina. Turning a program around doesn't happen overnight, even though you guys took a massive step in year number one. Everyone talks about culture, and we want the culture to be this. What do you want your culture to be like at South Carolina?
Well, to me, that's when you talk about that word, to me, it's the environment. And when somebody walks in our facility, you know, what does it feel like? And do they feel a certain way? And people have told me they do. And to me, that's one, you walk in this building and you feel a lot of joy and love for each other. The people in our football facility, day in, day out, a place that guys want to be at and want to be a part of. For sure. And then, you know, I think if you asked any one of our players, they would tell you this is a place where they know that as players that we as coaches really care about them deeply. And everybody talks about that, but it's real here, you know, without a doubt. And just that, just the way we treat people, the energy we want to have in this building, love for each other we want to have in this building, it all starts with that.
And it speaks to what you guys are doing with the way that you guys performed last year, because now there's so much change in college football for good and then also for some bad, but earning the trust of young kids, of teenagers and young adults is not easy, and it looks like your program did that pretty quickly.
Yeah, you know, for us, it's just trying to be honest with these guys and be consistent. And there's highs and lows in this profession, being a college football player, there's highs and lows. And, you know, you just try and weather the storm, and throughout the good, throughout the bad, you just constantly – continue to treat people the right way, continue to be honest with people, continue to hold them accountable and just be consistent. And that's what we did last season. I think our players, you know, appreciate that. And it is a different time with transfer portal and whatnot. But with us, we just try and make this a program that people want to be a part of, that, you know, we work really hard, and it's not easy being a football player here at South Carolina, but there's a lot of joy and love that goes into it as well, that guys want to be here and be a part of.
This past offseason, through training camp, and you guys got to open up next weekend, Saturday night, going up against Georgia State, just what did you sense from your kids this entire offseason when you look and the work that you guys put in?
Without a doubt, the desire to be better than what we were last year. You know, coming from not going to a bowl game for 2 years, and then all of a sudden we go to a bowl game last year, it would have been easy for a lot of guys to, you know, forget the work that went into getting bowl eligible, the work that went into winning a bowl game, and get used to the people that are patting them on the back, telling them what a great job they did last season and all that. And I have not seen that from our guys. I've seen a group that has worked really, really hard, has done everything that we've asked, a group that loves to practice, loves to work, loves to compete, and has a strong, strong desire to get better. And it's been that way since January, and it's continued through preseason practice here in August.
Talking to Shane Beamer, I have a lot of respect for Mark Stoops and what he's been able to do at Kentucky, but even when you're a school like Kentucky, people try to put limitations on them on what they could do in football just because the nature of the beast playing in the best conference in college football. People, when they talk about your program, they go, wow, you're number one. We'll see what steps they take in year number two. But what do you say to people that try to put limitations on your program just because of the respect that people have around the country for what Alabama and Georgia have been able to do the last few years?
Well, it's unbelievably tough conference to be a part of, but we embrace that and love that. As competitors, you want to compete against the best. And, you know, my response would be that we've shown here at South Carolina that we can win at the highest level. My last year here as an assistant coach, we played in the SEC championship game over in Atlanta against Auburn. And then after that season, Coach Spurrier and South Carolina had three straight seasons of top 10 finishes, if I'm not mistaken. So we've won at a high, high level. We've won national championships here in other sports, baseball, women's basketball, for example. And there's no reason why you can't do it in football. Now, you got to be the very best in your conference for sure to even have a chance to do that. But we have the resources that we need to do that. We got a recruiting base. We got a great, great academics here. We got a great city that we live in. We got great facilities. So, like, we got great people in this program, and we're just trying to continue to elevate this program a little bit each day, and I continue to, you know, build this program to where we all want it to be.
Shane Beamer here with us. You mentioned Coach Steve Spurrier when you got a chance to work with him. What was the lesson or two that you learned from him? I know that you could probably sit here and talk for 30 minutes, but give me a few things about Coach.
Yeah, that could be a whole show. I think the biggest thing is, one, you better have great players. And, you know, we had some great players during that time as well. But, you know, for me with Coach Spurrier, it was realizing how each team will take on in so many ways the personality of their head coach. And I truly believe that a lot of the success that we had here at South Carolina was just because of the confidence, swagger, whatever you want to call it, that Coach Spurrier carried himself with, you know, and I saw that our players fed off that and inspired, you know, confidence in them to go out and play loose and play free and play the game the right way. And we were able to have a lot of success doing that.
We all know what your father was able to accomplish at Virginia Tech, and it was a really great run for your dad at that university. When you look back at your time playing for him and then coaching with him, just what are the memories that come back to mind, and what does that relationship mean all these years later?
No, it's truly blessed to have been able to play and coach for him and had some, you know, just so many really, really special moments. I mean, my senior year of college, my last year playing for him was 1999, yeah, when we went undefeated and played Florida State for the national championship. So what a storybook finish to my time as a player at Tech and playing for my dad, to be able to go undefeated and have be a part of the best season in Virginia Tech football history. Now, the way the story ended was not what we wanted, losing in that national championship game, and that still, you know, hurts to this day. But what a magical season that was to be a part of and to share it with my dad. And then really just the time, you know, my first year when I went back with him as an assistant coach at Virginia Tech, we played in the ACC championship game and played in the Sugar Bowl, and that was awesome. And then really for me, it was just the opportunity to be with him during his last season as a coach. And, you know, when I went back to Virginia Tech, I didn't know if I'd be there for a year, 2 years, 3 years, but I ended up being there 5 years as an assistant coach with him. And so thankful that I was, because it allowed me to be a part of the 2015 season, which was his last year as a coach, and go out with him, if you will, you know, winning the Independence Bowl that season and his last college game as a coach. You know, I wouldn't have had it any other way being with him on that day.
Wrapping up with Shane Beamer, the head football coach at South Carolina. You've been before working with your new quarterback, Spencer Rattler, back to your days and time at Oklahoma. What are South Carolina fans getting in Spencer Rattler?
A guy that's very hungry, a guy that loves to work, a guy that has come in here and done a great job trying to acclimate himself to our program and our football team and working to be a great leader, but just a guy that's, you know, excited for a fresh start, that is a really, really good quarterback. He's a guy that, you know this, he hasn't lost a game as a starting quarterback since September of 2020. And he's done some really, really great things, and excited that he's here with us right now, and excited to be connected with him again.
We've had him on about 2 months ago, and I was very impressed with him, because we know he has all the physical tools, Coach, but you just wonder how a player responds mentally when you go through getting benched after being a projected first round pick, a projected Heisman finalist before last season started. Being around Tim, just what has he shown you mentally trying to move on from that?
Yeah, no, he's, you know, whatever happened in the past, I think he knows is in the past, and he's moved on, and it's a fresh start for him. And what we're doing offensively is a different system than what he was used to at Oklahoma. So he's working really hard to learn that and you know, be the very best player that he can be here at Carolina. And certainly he had a an experience at Oklahoma where he accomplished a lot during his time there. And I know he's proud of that. And I know he's eager to get out there on the field with us this season and keep this thing going.
Last thing I want to ask you, Coach Shane Beamer, just throughout this summer, have you sensed a little extra something from a player or two that you just want to highlight right now that we should be paying attention to on the offensive and defensive side of the ball?
Not really, and I know it's coach speak, but I like this group, and I think I could name multiple guys on that side of the ball. I mean, we got a bunch of guys that are newcomers that have come in, transfers, freshmen, and that we're excited about. We've got some returning players that have really improved since the end of last season that we're excited about. And you know, the depth and the competition at every position right now to me is better than what it was last year, and as a coach, that's exciting.
Well, Coach, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much. Good luck coming up next weekend against Georgia State.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate you having me on.
There's Shane Beamer, the head football coach of the South Carolina Gamecocks. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a timeout, and we'll come on back after these short messages.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. You can always follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Zach Gelb, ZACHGELB, and on our network accounts at CBS Sports Radio. Jay Gruden, John Gruden's brother, joined us about an hour 20 ago, and we had to, of course, ask him about the report from this past weekend via Dana White, that Dana White once was trying to get Tom Brady and the Gronker, Rob Gronkowski, to Las Vegas, where he owns a luxury box inside the Raiders stadium. And it was John Gruden, Jay's brother, who put the kibosh on Brady and Gronk going to Las Vegas. This is what Jay Gruden had to say about that report. I saw Dana White had a big news item this weekend. He claims your brother blew up the deal that prevented Brady and Gronk from being a Raider. Was that the first time you heard that story?
Oh, yeah, it's the first time. You know, a lot of the stories when you're out for a year or two, you know, whether it's true or not. I know John had a great relationship with Derek Carr, and Derek Carr is a great quarterback, you know, so whatever the story is, I think John had a lot of loyalty to Derek, and Derek had a lot of loyalty to John, and they were going to have some success if what happened didn't happen, because they have a very good offense now coming back as well, the skill that they have on offense. They're very dangerous as well, so reason for everything, I think Tom Brady is probably better off going to Tampa Bay, and I know Derek Carr is happy still being a Raider.
If you were the head coach of the Raiders, would you have made the same decision, be loyal to Carr and not bring in the GOAT, Tom Brady?
I don't know. I mean, Tom Brady's pretty good. He is the GOAT. So if you have a chance to get him and a tight end like Gronk, but they already had Darren Waller. I mean, it's only one ball. So I think depending on the contract situation, Derek Carr's still a young quarterback. He's very smart. He handles the offense very well. He's no Tom Brady. I'm not saying that at all, but around Derek Carr with some great players like he is going to have this year, you'll see a different Derek Carr again. He's very effective, but it'd be hard for me to ever turn down Tom Brady. He's my favorite all-time quarterback to watch on film, and if I ever had a chance to get him, I would have got him, but that's just me.
Do you and your brother talk about this when this story comes out? Like, he is your brother. You call him up and say, hey, is this true?
No, I haven't talked to him yet. He's down in Florida playing golf. I didn't bring it up. Little salty right now. He doesn't like all these rumors floating around. I don't know if it's true or not, but I'll get a hold of him and find the scoop. But, you know, I think the decision he made to keep Derek, I don't think that was a bad one. I think with Darren Waller and Derek and the development Hunter Renfrow made with him before he left was pretty fantastic.
I have three questions off this, Hickey. Now we've heard back-to-back days. Lincoln Kennedy, who played for John Gruden, works for the team, now as a team analyst on the radio, and as a Raiders legend, that he thinks Gruden would turn down Brady because of the loyalty to Carr. And he's very loyal to his quarterbacks. That's what Lincoln Kennedy said. Now today, Jay Gruden, John's brother, on this show, as you just heard, talked about the loyalty that Derek Carr, that his brother has for Derek Carr, and that Derek Carr has for his brother. Is loyalty why this happened here? The loyalty to Derek Carr, when a lot of us in the media, when John Gruden was there, which is all we did was speculate when John Gruden would give Derek Carr the boot and kick him to the curb.
No, I don't think loyalty is a driving factor.
Money?
I think it's, no.
Because it's only $25 million a year.
I think it's control.
which Lincoln Kennedy did bring up yesterday, you see BA no longer there. You also saw pretty much Arians, who's a great offensive mind, just let Brady run that offense. He doesn't know if John Gruden would have done that.
Yeah, John Gruden does not seem like the guy that would be A-OK with a new guy coming in and basically taking his system and him basically taking a step back.
Now, this is going back to 2020. Brady just turned 45. We're talking 3 years ago. Did age have to play a factor here? Just a better long-term answer maybe with Derek Carr, who now we look differently about Derek Carr with what he just did this past year. But for Derek Carr, as he was entering 2020 and you were going into that season, not the same way that we talk about Derek Carr now, which is still just a good quarterback, and we don't know if he's going to be a great quarterback. Did Gruden look at that as a long-term play?
Potentially, man. I don't know how you can. You know, it's like he was coming off the best year in New England. Now, I think a lot of people thought that was more about what was around him than him himself.
I don't know if that's necessarily true. I thought that, and I said, you're a fool to think that Brady is falling off the cliff just because of this past season, because I watched all those games. The wide receiver stunk and the offensive line was horrendous, but a lot of people that just look at the box scores and observe from afar go, oh, this is it for Brady. Brady's lost his fastball. So I don't know if a lot of people realize the wide receivers in the offense.
I would say a lot in the know. Like decision makers that would be in on, hey, should we sign Brady or not?
Wouldn't you know?
Yes. But I do think I'm with you. Like at that point, what? Going to be 43? Right? 42 going to be 43?
Yeah, 42. Yeah, 43. Yeah. In that age.
You can't. Age cannot be a factor, you know? I know you mentioned before. We've all been predicting and thinking this is the end for Tom Brady. If you're a head coach, you also got to think, like, realistically, how many more years, how much more juice does this guy have left?
I would think 2 years would be fair.
I think it's fair, too.
And now, when you're on a 10-year deal, remember, Gruden on a 10-year deal at the time before all this stuff came out. He's on a 10-year deal. I think it was pretty important to go get some wins there. And Brady definitely would have done that right away. Because Gruden at that time, let me just pull it up. I think what he's of, is he a year in or is it 2 years in? Gruden at the time, he is 2 years in, because in 2018 they were 4-12, 2019, 7-9. So he's 2 years into a 10-year deal with $100 million, $10 million a year. Now, 4-7 is a jump, but when you're getting paid on a 10-year deal for $100 million, you got to take a big, big jump. They didn't do that in 2020. They only increased to 8-8, and then we know 2021, he was there for 4 or 5 games, and then deservedly so, kicked to the curb. If you're in that spot, I know it's easy to say hindsight's 2020. You kicking Carr to the curb, or you saying no to Brady, who I guess wanted to go there?
I think it's a lot easier to kick Derek Carr to the curb, especially again. You said it. It's not like how we view Derek Carr now. We had a really good year last year and got the Raiders to the playoffs, and everything went on. This was, we were joking, he bought a house next to John Gruden in Vegas. He won't even be in Vegas by that point. It was very easy to say, see you later, Derek Carr.
Next question. I agree with you on that. Do you buy when Jay Gruden said, because I saw you made a little facial reaction on the last answer, that he has not talked to his brother yet about this story that did break over the weekend?
There's no way he hasn't talked to him about it. Actually, you know, I take that back. I actually would believe he hasn't talked to him about it, because I think he knows back in 2020 they've talked about it. This, he already is well aware, and there's no reason to call your brother.
He's already plugged into the story.
Right.
About even though he said this was the first time he heard it.
Classic.
Now, I will say this. I thought Jay Gruden was excellent on this show. I thought the football knowledge was great. If that was, let's just say, a 13, 14-minute interview, the 2-minute chunk about this story, I didn't know which way it was going to go. I personally am fine with the answers, but yeah, I did roll my eyes a little bit when he's trying to tell us that either this is the first time he heard about it or he has not talked to his brother yet about this story.
And look, if I was him, I'd probably say the same thing, right?
There's nothing to gain there.
And this is a situation where it looks bad on you for not making the move. So it's not like, oh yeah, I talked to him. And yeah, we talked about it in 20, like two head coaches in 2020. You think they're not talking about, oh, look who I could have had, or look what I could have signed.
Was Gruden still head coach then in 2020? No, was he offensive
not
coordinator
that, but
of the
like
Jaguars?
In the game, or just, you know, two guys talking shop. There's no way it doesn't come up.
Now, my favorite answer, because I would agree with you, that he's talked to his brother about this before. He knew his brother was interested in Brady, and then it just didn't happen. He put the kibosh on it. I think this story didn't catch him by surprise, even though he said this was the first time he's heard about it. you though always love a little sibling rivalry. You could always fight with your sibling, but at the end of the day, you love them, right? You love your sibling, but you also fight with your sibling. I think that's a little thing that just went on here with John and Jay. Because John Gruden now is getting dragged. He's been getting dragged for many other reasons, but in the last 72 hours, he's been getting dragged. You're an idiot. You're a moron. Dana White was going to get you Brady and Gronk. Gronk even admitted that that story was true. And the next thing you know, you didn't get them because your brother didn't want them. When I asked Jay if you were running the Raiders, at first I thought he was going to be like, it's a tough question to answer. But he did say at the end, it'd be very tough to pass up on Tom Brady. I think that's Jay, little sibling rivalry there, Hickey, going, yeah, I'm not going to kill my brother, but I will make it clear that I don't want to get dragged here. And yes, I would go Brady over Derek Carr. Give a little compliment to Carr, but rub some elbows a little bit with your brother there, John Gruden. That's what that came off to me as.
Smart man, you know? Hey, no reason to join him down there in the misery. Pit of misery.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a break. When we come on back, we're going to draft our first-year head coaches. There's 10 of them this year in the NFL. We'll see the five that Hickey winds up with and the five that I wind up with as well.
With classes in crisis communication, influence, and data presentation, Gonzaga University's online Master's in Communication and Leadership equips you with the tools you need to communicate clearly and encourage creativity in any industry. Concentrations in digital media, strategic communication, and global leadership allow you to customize your degree. Visit gonzaga.edu/communication and learn why a master's degree from Gonzaga can help you take your career to the next level. That's gonzaga.edu/communication.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Hoo, 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 hoo. You thought I was mad about the Patriots offensive coordinating situation? Hickey, wait till I have to talk to you right now. We'll get to our draft of new head coaches in just a second. You have zero clue what I'm about to bring up. You may have one of the worst takes of all time.
What?
You have probably, did I stutter there? You have one of the worst takes of all time.
What does that even say anything to you last break? What in the world are you talking about?
You have one of the worst takes of all time. You have no indication what I'm about to reference here.
Well, especially considering you feel like you say that about almost everything I say. So, like, anything I've said the last, like, I don't know, 10 minutes maybe? I have no idea.
There's a difference in me saying you're going to be wrong about something and me disagreeing with what you're saying and then taking it to the extreme of you had one of the worst takes of all time. The only time I think I've gone to you and say you've had one of the worst takes of all time, the only two instances I could ever remember in all the memory that I have of me disagreeing with you and just dissecting and going through my brain like I'm Sean McVay referencing plays from 7 years ago is when you said that Carson Wentz was a steal for the Colts, and then also when last year you were talking about Penn State going to the Big Ten championship game and then the college football playoff. Only two times I think I've worst taked you of all time ever. And this one I think tops both of them. Because what you tweeted out an hour ago is complete jackassery.
But the Penn State thing, that was emotions. They were highly right.
It doesn't matter.
It's not like they were like 7-6. I'll see you in Indy.
Doesn't matter.
All right, what did
you
I tweet
still
this time?
Said it. If this was stage talking about the guy with the hot dog as a straw in the beer. If this was stage, how much are you needing to pull off this stunt? That is what Hot Take Hickey tweeted. Hickey's price, $500,000 bare minimum. I'm 28. I will forever be known as the hot dog guy. If I have to live with this embarrassment for another 60 years, I want the money to be worth it. $500,000 to get a few tweets your way?
That's what you're considering to be the worst take of all time for
me? It's embarrassing. And not only is it embarrassing, even our boss agrees with us, Spike Eskin, who says forever, Ryan, this guy will be anonymous in 24 hours.
Not true.
Oh, he's 100%
not
right.
Not true.
I don't always agree with Spike, but Spike is 100% right here.
There are a few things that cut through where everyone sees it, everyone's talking about it, and it, like, you know, resonates. This is one of them.
You're telling me
sure.
Next week we're talking about the guy hot dog as a straw and a beer.
Not that we're talking about it. This is going to, anytime he's around, if you ever know this guy or find out, oh, this is the guy who did it, that's the first thing you're going to say about this guy the rest of his life.
This guy could walk past you on your way to work tomorrow, and you wouldn't even recognize him, Hickey.
If you ever find out this is the same guy, that will forever follow him wherever he goes.
Who cares?
What do you, who cares? You don't mean, I don't want to be known as a guy who drinks beer through a hot dog straw.
Do you think? Oh, look what you just did. See, people don't see this behind the scenes, but Hickey turns off his microphone and starts celebrating. The Mets got one run, and then Brett Batty got thrown out at the plate, and you were celebrating as if they got two runs and pumping your fist, and you look up at the screen and you saw they only got one run.
Yeah, base hit, that's all. Doesn't matter. I wasn't celebrating two runs. Base hit.
Anyway, not to try to get away from the conversation. I need you locked in here, not locked,
locked
in on the Mets game.
Stand by what I said.
You would not recognize this guy if you saw him walking down the street.
If tonight. That was me. What if I was the guy yesterday?
You think people are going to go up to you and go, oh, you're the guy that used the hot dog as a straw. Who cares?
What? It's disgusting. It's gross. And again, it follows you wherever. If that was you. If that was you and you were caught, whether it was staged or not, and someone said, Zach, you want to go viral, do this. And you say, you know what? I do. Let me do it. Sure, most people may not recognize you initially.
$500,000?
Once people realize, oh, that's the guy, you're never going to escape that. You will forever be the hot dog guy. That's the first thing anyone will ever identify you.
No.
Oh, do you know who's hosting on the new show today? Oh, do you know who my friend met? Remember the guy who drank beer through a hot dog? That's him. It's not, oh, Zach Gelb, the radio host, or, oh, Zach Gelb, I went to high school. It is, that's the guy who drank beer through a hot dog.
Fine. And
not going to be
my
me.
Reaction would be, okay, so you saw an irrelevant person.
Disgusting.
But you saw an irrelevant person.
Do you know, there are some things I'm telling you.
Time out. Do you think the lady that dipped her chicken finger in a soda still these years later gets recognized? Oh, that's the girl that dipped her chicken finger in a soda.
No, I'm not saying everyone's going to recognize. I don't know what she
you
looks like.
You have to live with this forever is what you wrote.
Find, yes, you do. Because once you know who it is, that's, oh, she's, yeah, if I found out one of my friends is actually the chicken finger lady, I will forever, that's, oh, you know who that girl is? Chicken finger lady.
$500,000 yes. That you need.
Yeah.
You know you take significantly less to just get as equal of a beating each and every day.
I am not going to be made fun of for doing something that is repulsive.
You know how many times you get tweets?
I was sick to my stomach yesterday. I'm not even kidding. Like, I'm not even being, like, hyperbolic here. I literally started, like, my stomach was churning as we were talking about this yesterday.
My guy, Leroy Horn, just texted me.
What is Leroy saying?
He just texted me, and he had the perfect response. Now, first off, I'll get to his response in just a second. But supposedly, his co-host, Brendan Tobin, is not happy with me because I didn't love his hour number two a song. I didn't even think I was that critical of it. I just said I didn't like the song when I was listening to them when I was driving around Miami going to the airport. It was 7 in the morning. I didn't have my coffee yet, so maybe that did influence that opinion. I'll be joining those guys on 790 The Ticket, one of our great affiliates. Or I think they're still an affiliate. I don't know. It's QAM, 790, same company now. We're on one of those stations. But I'll be joining those guys tomorrow at 9:20 a.m. Eastern. And I'm sure Brendan Tobin's just going to say, oh, he's a Patriot fan. He's a Patriot fan living in New York. And he won't really have anything. But my guy, Leroy Horde, hot take Hickey, just tweeted out this. Or no, just texted me this. Hickey would do it for $20 and a Krispy Kreme. He's lying when he says $500,000. You want to go talk smack to Leroy Horde? He'll line up and do an Oklahoma drill and put you on your ass.
He would. That's why I would never fight him. But I would say he's wrong. I definitely would not do it for a donut and $20. You can call me hot take Hickey. That's what I'm known for. Fine. I love
it. Idiot
that.
Take Hickey on this one.
I will absolutely not be known as hot dog guy. That is for damn sure.
Who cares?
I care.
It's not like you did anything criminal.
It's something gross. That's people were calling for this guy to be in jail. You said put him in jail, kick him out of the ballpark.
No. I said ban him from the stadium.
All right.
Life.
Same thing.
I'll say this to you again. Way less than $500,000 to get just as equal of the abuse each and every day. You have people that tweet you out of nowhere on the regular. Hot take Hickey said this. Hot take Hickey said that. We want hot take Hickey to see his Indianapolis Colts lose to Carson Wentz and the Commanders. You take a beating each and every day. You don't need $500,000 to show up to this job.
That's okay. I stand by what I say. So if people disagree, that's fine.
That's
I do not stand by That disgusting act.
I think you're being hypocritical.
Behavior.
I think you need to go into management's office tomorrow and say, I demand $500,000. That's
sure,
it,
I'll gladly
that's your
do
cause.
That. Absolutely.
We should get that on video because I just wonder how quickly Spike says no to that.
I'll probably say five. And not even get it out.
If you're getting that thin arrow, then I need a raise. By the way, when I heard Brendan Tobin take a few shots at me today, and he spent like 30 minutes talking about a one-minute comment that I made, he said something along the lines of, I bet you Gelb doesn't do any fun radio or any entertaining radio or anything outside the box. He probably just breaks down typical quarterbacks or things like that. We just gave you, 10 minutes of Hickey just being a liar and going after hot take Hickey? You know, we don't do necessarily always the traditional radio that everyone does.
Wait, what do you mean being a liar? I told you. I wouldn't have tweeted if I didn't believe it. I'm not being the hot dog guy. Again, I'm 28.
Your minimum price is $500,000.
Yes, I plan on being here to at least 90.
I call you up $50,000. You're saying no?
No.
Baloney.
I'm not doing it.
$50,000 to just have people make fun of you on social media? Give me $50,000. I'll go to Yankee Stadium tomorrow and do the same thing that this hot dog idiot did. $50,000, Hickey. You don't need five. If I tell you $100,000, you're telling me no?
Telling you no. I'm out. I'm not doing it.
Put
that
your
guy
lying ass on a lie
transcended
detector.
The internet.
You're a liar, liar, pants on fire.
Am I wrong?
What do you mean he transcended the internet?
That cut through.
This is 24 hours, 48 hours, and then
that
it becomes a pimple on an ass.
What? Again, once that guy, once his family, once his friends, maybe I hope he's on the dating scene. I'll tell you that right now. If this guy's in the dating scene, any chance of him getting a date is gonzo.
What are you talking about?
What girl would say, oh yeah, I'm going to go start dating the guy who drinks beer through his hot dog?
He had pretty good seats.
Absolutely not.
He had pretty good seats.
Okay, money doesn't buy happiness.
Yeah,
date a psychopath,
money does,
too.
Sometimes does buy love.
You want to die? You want to date a psychopath? I don't.
Your girlfriend does.
Please, I'm not doing anything near that level of disgusting.
What you're afraid to eat anything.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, I'd rather not eat. I'd rather just stick to my PB&Js and chicken fingers every day than go exploring and end up, down that alley. That's for sure.
You're full of crap.
I am dead serious.
Saying your bare minimum price is $500,000.
Half a mil. Could have went, could have got crazy.
Do me a favor. Can I get your parents on the phone? Your
what are you
parents
talking about?
Would kill you if you turned down $100,000 to do this. $100,000. Heck, I even think if you were offered 10 grand, you would do it.
I don't even know what the equivalent now would be because this has already been done. So that now, when someone does it again, the copycats never, doesn't really matter as much. I don't even know what would be the equivalent. I don't even know.
I would only drink beer using hot dog out of a straw if you paid me $500,000. Seriously.
Well,
I'd use a hot dog as a straw for the rest of my life drinking a beer if that means you give me $500,000.
I feel bad for you then. That's
I'm laughing.
That's not a life worth living.
I'm laughing because Leroy then just texts me, I shotgun that bleep for $50,000 on ESPN. And that's a former NFL running back. That's a man's man, Leroy Horde. Then you have hot take Kiki. Oh, because some jackass on Twitter would make fun of me. I need $500,000 because I'll live in infamy forever. I need $500,000. Give me a break.
You know what? If anything, I'm opening up more business for you and Leroy. You're welcome. There you go.
What do you mean you're opening up more business?
Because now my price is too high. So if whatever, social media wants to go, hey, who wants to go viral? I need a volunteer. You and Leroy, come right down. There you go. We got two folks, two volunteers.
$500,000.
Yes, sir.
You know Maggie and Perloff did this today and they got paid nothing extra.
I know. It wouldn't be me.
Gio did it today on CBS Sports Network, got paid nothing extra.
Wouldn't be me.
Why not?
Disgusting.
Come on.
I got not sick, physically sick, but my stomach was churning yesterday.
I could move you
I
so easily off that
feel
price.
Good. I cannot sit there in good conscience and good faith and say, you know what? I'm going to sell my soul for anything less.
If I went to the bank tomorrow and took out $100,000 and put the cash right in front of you, like old school style with the briefcase or a gym bag, and threw it right in front of you and threw you a gym bag full of $100,000 in cash. You have to go to Yankee Stadium and you have to go do this. You're telling me that you wouldn't do it?
What is one of your biggest critiques of me? I dig in my heels. I'm too stubborn.
Yeah, and you just can't admit when you're wrong. It's your boss is telling you that you're absurd for this.
I think this is going to be Will Smith, Chris Rock-esque. I think this is going to be dress or gold dress.
Oh, no.
When you hear that, people immediately know exactly what you're talking about. There's a few things that stand on everyone's brain. I think it's going to be Will Smith slap, blue dress, gold dress, drinking beer through a hot dog.
You're out of here.
Those three are going to be in the same vein when it comes to internet moments
you're
that everyone knows.
You're out of your GD mind.
You really are.
And you're smiling at me right
now? No, because I'm being serious. I don't understand how you don't think that this is...
What is up with all you producers here at CBS Sports Radio with these contrived takes? You and Mraz now, you're not even believing what you're actually saying. $500,000 to do this.
You said cash. I said no way.
Yeah.
I'm dead serious.
Once again, if I bring in the money...
Bring in the cash.
You're not turning it down.
Bring in the cash.
Oh, come on.
Can you return the cash to the bank?
Yeah. It's called making a deposit.
Hey,
my producer is the biggest moron in the world.
Take back this 100K that I got. Yeah. Also, if there are any bank robbers out there, we're definitely not doing this for real. Definitely not.
And we also have a bank adjacent to the station. If I get robbed,
I would not go
going
in there.
To the station to then here, it's a 2-foot walk.
Don't go in there.
That's a problem.
That bank is gross.
What? You know what I've seen in the winter there?
Yeah. There's
homeless people
exactly
that live
right.
in the
Stay
bank.
Away. Go to another bank, right? Go farther walk and put yourself in more danger.
We will maybe do one of those cheesy, lame-ass segments coming up later in the show when we get to our draft. That'll be a Brendan Tobin, Zach Gelb thought-out-to-be segment. So we'll do that at some point. When we come on back, though, we got to talk Kevin Durant. Leroy Hort should fly from Miami to New York and beat you up for saying you need $500,000 to do this. What a joke.